It's important to know what God's will for your life is, but it's equally or even more important to know God's plan for bringing that will to pass. That is a very important statement, and that's what we're discussing today, so stay tuned for Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm going to begin sharing with you a series that I've entitled God's Man, Plan, and Timing. And of course, this applies to women. It's just talking about the person that God uses. And these are some things that the Lord has taught me. And I tell you, the things that I'll be sharing with you this week have literally transformed my life, and they are some of my foundational things that I use. And if any of you are concerned about finding God's purpose for your life and then fulfilling it, I promise you, we have some things for you this week that are going to make a big difference in your life. First of all, let me just say that one of the ways that God has instructed me is that I have learned things vicariously through people in the Bible. What I mean by that is, some people have this doctrine that you can't really know anything and you can't empathize or sympathize with somebody until you have suffered the same thing that they've suffered. And I think that's terrible theology. What that means is that you are going to have all kinds of problems in your life. And I tell you, there is a better way than learning by hard knocks. Now, hard knocks, you can definitely learn by it. I'm not saying that you don't learn through hard knocks, but I'm saying a better way to learn is to learn through somebody else's hard knocks. Look at their problems and learn from them. And this is exactly what the Scripture has to say about what was recorded in the Bible. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 6, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's rehearsing some of the Jewish history. And he said in verse 6, he says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So he said that all of these things that happened to the Israelites as they came out of the land of Egypt and went through that wilderness period of time, it says they were written for our example, so that we could learn through them not to be idolaters, not to be fornicators, not to murmur, not to complain, not to tempt Christ and say, "Can God do these things?" And so this is very clear that the reason these things are listed is so that you don't have to learn by hard knocks. You can look at other people and see their mistakes, see the way that God responded to it and how it affected them, and you don't have to learn through those things. And you know, praise God, I'm saying this to the glory of God, not for a selfish purpose, but praise God, I have been spared many, many, many of the problems that some of you watching this program or listening by radio have had to go through. I mean, I've never committed adultery. I've never gone out and stolen. I've never gone through a lot of the things that a lot of people have done. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never been on drugs. I've avoided a lot of problems, and the way that I did it was through taking instruction from the Scripture. So what I want to do this week is to turn over to the example of Moses and just share some things with you out of the life of Moses. And I tell you, if you can receive this, if you can read it not only as just a Bible story, but take the lessons that you see in Moses' life and then apply those things directly to you, it has tremendous benefit. And I can promise you that this story about Moses is relevant to every single person watching or listening to this program. I can promise you that. It doesn't matter. I know we got people all across Europe watching this program, people in Australia, but you know what? This is going to be something that will relate to you, whatever your culture is, whatever the situation. This is the way that God deals with people. So let's turn over to the book of Exodus. This is where Moses first came on the scene, and actually the birth of Moses and the fact that he was put into this little basket and put into the River Nile, and that Pharaoh's daughter found him and then took him and began to nurse him. All of that is given in the first part of the second chapter of the book of Exodus. I want to jump on down into verse 11 when Moses was grown. And it says in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said unto them that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy brother, thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." And then it begins to go on and talk about how that through this he met Jethro and eventually married one of his daughters, and he remained in this wilderness for 40 years. And we'll pick up on that story later. First of all, before we go any further, I've got to say this. I have to change some of the common impressions that people have about those verses that we just read. Most people actually are more influenced by this movie, The Ten Commandments, and the way it represents how things went with Moses than they are by these scriptures. Now, I will say this, that if you only took these passages of scripture here in Exodus chapter 2 and read these scriptures by themselves, then you could read into it and maybe suppose some of the things that Cecil B. DeMille depicted in the Ten Commandments. But when you take all of the scripture, specifically Acts chapter 7 and Hebrews chapter 11, where it also talks about Moses and what was going on, and when you look at things from a scriptural perspective, a lot of the things that are said about Moses are not accurate in that movie, The Ten Commandments. Now, I'm not against that. I own that movie. It has ministered to me. It blesses me, but I have to interpret it. And what I'm trying to say is we need to go by the scriptural account more than we go by a Hollywood version of Moses' life. And some of the things that were represented incorrectly in this movie, The Ten Commandments, one of those things is that Moses did not know who he was when he grew up. He didn't know that he was Hebrew. This was a story that was kept secret from him. And he had no knowledge of that. And so when he went out and killed this Egyptian who was fighting a Hebrew slave, he did it just because he was a nice guy, because he was just, you know, naturally a just, fair, honest guy, and he took up for the underdog, and that he was just kind of thrust into this thing, and it happened without his knowledge. That is not what the Word of God teaches. Now, again, you might be able to suppose that if all you did was read Exodus chapter 2. But let me show you some other passages of Scripture that comment on this. You know, if you keep reading the Bible will always explain itself. Having a very small knowledge of the Word of God is actually dangerous because you can draw wrong conclusions. But if you have an overview of the entire Word of God, the Word of God will always explain itself and amplify on things. The Word of God is the best commentary on itself that there is. And so here is the Lord speaking through Stephen, the very first martyr in the church, and it says that he was speaking through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was inspiring what he was saying, and he was recounting Jewish history to give a defense of his actions before the Sanhedrin. And so as he did this, he recounted some of the history of Moses. And in verse 20, this is Acts chapter 7, in verse 20, it says, "In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." Notice the terminology in verse 23 here. It says, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now, the way that this is stated, and it'll make it clearer in even a few more verses here, but the way it's stated, this isn't something that just happened. It wasn't just faith that threw them together. It wasn't Moses just being thrown into a position where he took up for the underdog. He knew he was a Jew, and he went out. God put it in his heart. God initiated this whole thing, and God laid it on his heart to go visit his brethren, the children of Israel. In other words, he knew he was a Jew. Contrary to the Ten Commandments movie, he knew he was a Jew, and it was put into his heart by God. He went out. This was deliberate. It was not circumstantial. It was not accidental. In verse 24, it says, "And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian." And look at this in verse 25. It says, "For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not." Boy, what an important piece of information. You know what this does? It means that when Moses killed this Egyptian, it wasn't something that just happened because he was in a circumstance and it was just what he fell at the, you know, in the heat of the moment. It wasn't something that he did just because he's a nice guy and he took up for the underdog and he was for justice and things like this. God put it in his heart, and this reveals to us that Moses knew God's call and God's purpose on his life. It says he supposed that when he killed this Egyptian that the Jews would have understood that he was the one sent by God to bring deliverance to the Jews. Now that is a very important piece of information, because what this means is Moses knew God's will for his life. And he, when he killed this Egyptian, he was actually trying to bring God's will for his life to pass. And yet it was an utter failure. Now see, again, the Ten Commandments depicts this, that Moses just did this because he was a nice guy. It's just something that happened, and that he was thrown into the wilderness, and it was basically 40 years later before he really had God reveal himself to him. That is not what the Word of God teaches us. Moses knew God. Moses knew he was a Jew, and Moses knew that God had called him to bring deliverance to the Jews. But he totally missed God's plan for bringing God's will to pass. Well, this is important. We're going to take a break here. Our announcer is going to share with you a tape that I have entitled God's Man, Plan, and Timing, and then I'll be right back.
Andrew's teaching titled God's Man, Plan, and Timing is available on a single CD, request item number TU5, when you contact us. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. This teaching is also available for download absolutely free on our website. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
So I've already established, as we begin to start talking about God's man, plan, and timing, I've already established that we're talking about the life of Moses. And I've taken Exodus chapter 2, where Moses was went out and killed this Egyptian, and we put that together with Acts chapter 7. And through these passages of Scripture commenting on each other, we discovered that when Moses killed this Egyptian, that it wasn't something that was done accidentally. It wasn't something that was done in just the heat of the moment. It wasn't done because Moses was a nice guy. It was done because Moses knew God's will for his life. Moses knew that God had called him to bring deliverance to the Jews. And when he went out and killed this Egyptian, he was beginning that process of trying to bring deliverance to the Jews. He was going about trying to fulfill God's will. This isn't something that just happened, you know, out of the fact that he hated Egyptians or anything like this. This was done based on a conviction that he had that God was going to use him to bring deliverance to the Jews. Now, the significance of this to you and me is tremendous. And here's one of the first points that I want to get across. We're talking about how to discover God's will for your life. But even more than that, how to accomplish God's will. See, Moses knew God's will for his life. You can see that from these passages of Scripture. Acts chapter 7, in verse 25, when he killed this Egyptian, it says, "For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not." In other words, he expected the Jews to rally behind him, and they were going to follow his leadership, and he was going to bring deliverance to this entire nation that he was a part of, and he was going to lead them out of captivity, and he was going to be the deliverer. And so he knew God's will for his life. But here is a, boy, this is an important piece of information. I just pray that God will open up your heart and help you to receive this. Knowing God's will for your life is a very small part of you fulfilling that will. Now, that comes as a total shock to most people. Most people believe that, you know, if God would just show them, God, what do you want me to do? Then, God, that's all I'll ever ask of you. You show me, and praise God, I can take care of it from here. But actually, the Scripture teaches us a much different attitude, and that is that once you know what God's will is for your life, the next step, and maybe even a more important step than knowing God's will, is finding out what God's plan is for accomplishing that will. There is a right and wrong way to try and accomplish things. In our society today, a lot of people believe that the end justifies the means. In other words, as long as I get from here to there, it doesn't matter how I get there. And that kind of logic has led to people who will compromise their convictions. They will do all kinds of things. They'll operate in dishonesty. They'll stab other people in the back. And they'll do anything, basically, as long as they feel that the end result is going to be that I'm fulfilling God's will. But you know what? That is not true at all. The plan for accomplishing, the plan for how to get from where you are into where God wants you to be, is every bit as important, if not more important, than finding out what God's will is for your life. Now, I know that there's some people watching this program right now that if you are allowing the Holy Spirit, He's touching your heart, because I see this all of the time, that people know that God has a call on their life. Like my contemporaries, my peers are ministers, and I meet people all of the time who are called to ministry, and they know that they're called to ministry. God has revealed that to them, but they don't go about it God's way at all. They think that, you know what, now God's called me, I can take care of it from here. And they are out there in self-will. They're doing it in a way that is misrepresenting God. You know, I pray that nobody will misunderstand what I'm saying, because I'm not against media ministers. I am one. I'm on television. I'm on radio. So I'm not against it. But you know what? Honestly, I have sat in a hotel room, flipped the dial, seen Christian television programs, and it's embarrassed me. And I thought, you know what, if I was a non-Christian watching one of these programs, I wouldn't want to be a Christian. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with it. And yet, am I saying that those people aren't saved? Am I saying that God hasn't touched their life? Am I saying that they aren't trying to fulfill what God's called them to do? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that it's not enough just to know that God has called you and that God has put an anointing on your life. You need to develop the character and the maturity to accurately represent God. And how you get from never having ministered for the Lord and to fulfilling that call is every bit as important as recognizing the call on your life. In the past, if you go back in church history, you will find out that some, especially when the charismatic, it was before the what's called a charismatic movement, but the Pentecostal movement and the healing revivals, we had some people that had powerful anointings on their life. I won't call names here, but I've heard some tapes actually of a man who called up people, and on this tape he says, "Have I ever met any of you before?" And every one of them said, "No, well, I've never met you." So he says, "There's no contact. There's no way I can know anything about you." And they all said yes. And he says, "If I was to tell you your name and your physical address and your telephone number, will you believe that it's God speaking through me?" And they said yes. And he just went down the line, boom, 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 told them their name, address, and telephone number. Now, that's a pretty powerful gift. Some of you may doubt that, and some of you may think, "I don't think that's real." I believe that can happen. I've called out people's names before. Now, I've never done it quite to the degree with the accuracy that this man did, but I've had people in my meetings before, and I've walked up to them and said, "Your name is," and told them things. I operate in the gifts of the Spirit and tell people things that there's no way I could know physically. So I know that those kind of things happen. And it was a powerful gift. And this man had a great anointing on his life. But you know what? He also didn't have the maturity and the character. He built his ministry off of this gift. And in the early days of the healing Crusades, you saw a lot of people that had these miraculous healing gifts that would go out and thousands of people would come to them. But many of those people died drunks. Some of them died in terrible sin. Some of them died believing that they were the only prophet of God, and they tried to make a cult around themselves. And you know why a lot of that happened? Because they knew God's will, but they didn't know how God wanted to fulfill that will. They didn't know how God wanted them to function. They just took a word from God, made a paragraph out of it, and went out there and started doing their own things. And there's no doubt that they were saved. There's no doubt that they had anointings on their life, but it caused a tremendous amount of damage. And I see this happened and repeated constantly today. One of the reasons that we have a Bible college and that we go to the effort that we do is because of this very thing. Most of the people that come to our Bible colleges in the UK, in Portugal, Russia, and here in the United States, they know that there is a call of God on their life, and they have an anointing on their life, and they could go out and they could succeed to some degree. They could touch people's lives, but there are so many pitfalls out there. You not only need to know what God wants you to do, but you also need to know how God wants you to do it. There is a God way of doing what He's called you to do, and there is a selfish way of doing it. And the Scripture is just replete with this. Man, you could take examples like one that pops to my mind is Samson. Samson was anointed by God. He knew that his job was to liberate the Israelites from the dominion of the Philistines. And you know what? He did accomplish it. He eventually accomplished God's will. But he went about it a total wrong way from what God wanted him to do. That is an example, as Bob Yandian, a good friend of mine, says. Bob Yandian says, he's got a tape series on Samson that says, "Power Gone Sour." And that's exactly what happened. He had a great anointing on his life. He was endued with supernatural strength. And he eventually accomplished God's will for his life. But in the process, he caused great grief to himself, had his eyes put out, was committed as a slave to grinding cornmeal. And finally, when he killed the Philistines, he killed himself at the same time. That was not God's way of accomplishing that. I'm trying to get this point across, and I hope that you really are getting this, that for you to know what God wants you to do is wonderful. And that's powerful. It's a great privilege to have God reveal His will to you. But that is just the beginning step. That's like opening the door. You have not arrived. You are not complete. It is every bit as important to understand God's plan for fulfilling His will in your life as it is to know what God wants you to do. And because God has started showing me these things, you know, it has provided me with some things that have kept me from being sidetracked, getting off the rails, and Satan destroying me. There's been times in my life, I remember a group of men that came, six men who came from California and Tulsa and Dallas, Fort Worth, and other places. And anyway, I met with them, and they told me that they could raise me millions of dollars. They had just raised over $22 million for another minister. I won't mention his name. But they told me that they could do this. And I needed the money. And so I said, "Okay, what do you do?" And they started telling me the gimmicks that they would use and how they would write to my mailing list. And they would put pictures of babies up there with bloated, swollen stomach and say that, you know, I have an orphanage and all of these kind of things. And I said, "But hey, guys, I don't do that. I don't have an orphanage. That is not what my ministry is all about." And they said, "It doesn't matter. Just tell the people." Says, "They'll give." And they showed me the color of ink that would make people give and all of these kind of things. And they went to great lengths to justify and say, "Look, you are getting it to preach the gospel. It doesn't matter how you get it. It's just whether or not you get the money, and then it's what you use it for that counts." And I got to be honest with you, for about that long, I was tempted because I really could have used the money. But the Lord had shown me that not just the end doesn't justify the means, that the way I get there is as important as whether I get there or not. And I just told them, I'd already paid them some money, paid their plane fares to come in. And I told them, I said, "Keep it. I don't care, but I will not resort to doing those kind of things." I said, "My integrity is more important to me than whether or not I ever fulfill this vision." And basically what I was saying, that the plan, the way I accomplish what God puts on my heart is as important or more important than what God wants me to do. Boy, that is a great revelation. I'm out of time today, but tomorrow we're going to be back and we'll continue to talk about God's man, plan, and timing.
Andrew's teaching titled God's Man, Plan, and Timing is available on a single CD for a gift of any amount. Request item number TU5 when you contact us. This teaching is also available for download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. There, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll discover a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and share with others. There are over 500 teachings at your fingertips and more than 10 years of TV broadcast you can view right there on the web. There's also over 12 years of radio programs available for download as MP3 or for you to listen to online. Again, it's free as you navigate through the pages of awmi.net. If you prefer, you can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can write to us. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts... The normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
And I tell you, very, very, very seldom will your logic correspond with God's logic. God's ways are not man's ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. And if you know what God's will for your life is, that's wonderful. But I'm telling you that that is just a first step. You have to also learn, God, how do you want me to accomplish this? And you need to do it God's way. If you do it that way, you will be more successful. You will bear more fruit. And also, it will save you the hurt and the pain along the way. There are so many examples in scriptures of people who stumbled into doing God's will, but they did it at great loss to themselves because of their own self-will and other things.